sponsored by Heavies. Your listening experience matters, and if you're going to listen to heavy music, do you really trust that experience to cheap earbuds and weak headphones with mediocre audio? Heavies is the answer, designed specifically for metal and heavy music listening. Eight, count them, eight speakers delivering an immersive listening experience, along with the noise-canceling mode called Hellblocker, which is an extremely metal term for noise-canceling, combined with five built-in microphones, physical volume knob, 50-hour battery life, travel case, and interchangeable shells so you can show off some of your favorite groups that have partnered with Heavies. You can get $40 off any of these H1H model bundles or the shell bundles by using the code ROCKED at checkout. These are the highest quality headphones I have ever used, and you can get them at a big discount. Check out Heavies.com for more info on the H1H model and use the code ROCKED at checkout for $40 off. Welcome to the podcast that rocked, weekly podcast talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything between. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
That actually works much better. Maybe I should cut that out of the I'll cut that out of the podcast feeds. So that way no one will have any idea. So what you said, Luke was mime talking. Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. Yes, I was just talking with my mouth, but no volume. Thank you all for tuning in. If you've noticed the pinned comment, we are looking for a like goal this week, and that'll be the ongoing thing for every week going forward, because if we hit a certain like goal, we'll play a game called Festival Rock or Flop. And what is Festival Rock or Flop? That's where you all decide if we can book a random five-band festival and if it's worth going to or not. It's going to be awesome or hilarious or ridiculous or weird. But I have over 200 bands in a folder, and this random generator picks five bands, and we'll try to make a festival, and then we'll have everybody vote in the chat to see if that's something to go for. If we hit 40 likes, 4-0, we will play the game this podcast. So please hit the like button. It does help a ton. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, whatever. Just do what you need to do. I think I said everything right. Did I miss anything for that?
Just like it.
Okay. Wait.
I think you're good, man.
Okay. I think so too. Okay. So other than that, thank you guys for joining us as we jump right into it. Luke was saying gamer words. Yes, that's exactly what I was doing. Gamer words. I do not feel like getting canceled. Thank you. Twitch and gamers have a lot of issues right now with all their problems. I'm not going to get into it. I don't want to get into it. We have other news to discuss, and that is the main story of this week. We unfortunately are saying goodbye to one of the most well-known household names in American rock. Aerosmith is retiring. Yes. Oh, wait. We all have sound effects. There we go.
I liked mine better.
I'm not saying it was better or worse. I'm just saying we might as well use the professional stuff. And by professional, the incredibly old sound effects. Aerosmith have decided to say peace out, but this not for a tour. They're saying peace out because they can't tour anymore. Have either of you two seen Aerosmith live?
I'm super bummed to say that I missed them, and now I don't get a chance to see them because I've been so stoked about seeing them this year. And as soon as they announced this, I was like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. This was going to be my chance, and now I can't.
Rowan?
So I have not seen Aerosmith, but my dad, on the other hand, has seen them 3 times live. And fun fact, the first time you ever saw them live was when they were actually the headliner for a show with Guns N' Roses. And at that show, that was where they filmed the music video for Paradise City, actually. So if you ever see that music video for Paradise City and you look out into the crowd, my dad's in there somewhere.
Okay, awesome. Then. Yeah. So, Rowan Sr. in a video for Aerosmith and Guns N' Roses. I don't know his name, so I'm just going to say Rowan Sr. It's just easier.
His name's Mike.
Yeah. Mike, there you go. So,
yeah,
very nice. However, none of us have seen Aerosmith live, and we won't get to. My in-laws bought tickets. And of the original tickets, they had good seats at Capital One, which is the stadium in D.C. That's where the NHL team and NBA play team, they are Washington Capitals and stuff. It's not going to happen now. It's just not. They got the refund notice, and I think that's when everyone said, yep, it's done. However, it sucks, but this is the debate I want to have with you guys. And if you're in the chat, you want to chime in on this, go for it. Maybe it's... First of all, it's not a bad reason to stop. It's not.
And no, I want to. No.
Yeah. I'll read the bits and pieces of the statement itself that they posted on all socials. It has been the honor of our lives to have our music become part of yours. In every club, on every massive tour, and at moments, grand and private, you have given us a place in the soundtracks of your lives. We've always wanted to blow your minds when performing. As you know, Steven's voice is an instrument like no other. He has spent months tirelessly working on getting his voice to where it was before his injury. We've seen him struggling despite having the best medical team by his side. Sadly, it's clear that a full recovery from his vocal injury is not possible. We have made a heartbreaking and difficult but necessary decision as a band of brothers to retire from the touring stage. So
I just want to say someone in the chat, by the way, said Aerosmith will return as avatars. If all the old bands go in the Kiss route where they just are performing as holograms or just guys in costumes pretending to be them, I will say rock is dead and then fill my pockets with rocks and then walk into the ocean.
The self rocked burial at sea. When you put rocks in your pocket walk in, rock to death, literally. I don't think Steven Tyler in the Aerosmith camp would go the route of avatars or holograms. Asterisk, I can't speak for them after they pass because who knows what RCA and labels would want to do with their IPs and their bands.
Oh, God. I'm worried about what's going to happen.
I know. I get that. See, Kiss, that's their thing. They want they're more of a brand now than anything. And I get that they're on their farewell tour number 97, but they're a brand. They put Kiss merch on anything imaginable. Of course, they're going to keep something going with avatars and digital Kiss and stuff like that. Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Aerosmith's not in that league. You could say Aerosmith branding, but I don't know about that. But there's two things I want to get to right now. And I want you guys to respond to this also. What was your first Aerosmith memory? Mine was Mrs. Doubtfire with Robin Williams dancing to Do Looks Like a Lady with the vacuum cleaner. When I was a little kid, that was on the commercial. It was the perfect song for that. And that was 10 years after the song came out? Something like that. I don't remember when Permanent Vacation began, but whatever. Whatever. Do you guys have any Aerosmith memories? First Aerosmith memories?
Honestly, that's one of mine as well. I'm going to give you that right now. Mrs. Doubtfire was definitely part of all of our childhoods. Yes. I guarantee it. So Dude Looks Like a Lady, Mrs. Doubtfire is definitely one of mine as well. But I also have a personal memory of driving around in my mom's, old Suburban or whatever. And she had the Aerosmith cassette. And I remember I would just pop it in randomly and I was like, Dream On, I would jam out to Dream On and I loved it. I had no idea who they were, what I was doing. I was so young, but that cassette sticks out in my brain as well.
Gotcha. Okay. Rowan, how about you? Because you're a generation after I am. So what do you think?
Yeah. I can't think of the exact first memory, but I do have a lot of memories of just going back to my dad. He was a big fan of Aerosmith, so he would just play a lot of their songs in the car, on the way to school and all that stuff. But I do have a more... This is more high school and all that stuff. This is when I first got my first bass guitar and I was trying to learn Sweet Emotion, that opening bass line.
Okay.
My mindset was that I wanted to validate to my parents that you guys just gave me a $400 bass. I want to show you that that you got your money's worth. So I'm trying to play all the songs they love.
And play awesome. To get that back to the parents. Very well received for that. That's a good plan. Good planning. Good business plan to your parents for buying you the bass. I'll learn your favorite songs, Mom and Dad. Smooth.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I have a little fun fact for Sweet Emotion. So you know that intro where they do the and they also have that That is a salt packet that Steven Tyler found in studio that day because they broke the maracas.
I totally believe that is a Steven Tyler DIY, just make the show work type attitude. And I do I do appreciate that. Also, Steven Tyler is one of the few people that will play until he literally can't anymore. This situation itself, I remember the South Dakota show where he fell flat on his back from the runway on a stage. And they had to airlift him out of there, they stopped the show and everything. It takes something like that for Aerosmith to end a show. But they are a band that had their ups and downs. But after the 80s, when they had their big comeback, when they redid the song with Run DMC, they never faded away from the limelight. If anything, they became more established as a long-running act beyond genre. It wasn't about genres. It was Aerosmith. You knew Aerosmith, And that's a huge thing to do. Good.
Around the same time, I think around the same time as that Run DMC sort of collab, I think that was also when they appeared on The Simpsons. It was the episode where it was the Flaming Moe, if anyone knows that episode off the top of their head, but it was again, last time I'll bring him up. Again, my dad loves to quote that because he just loved Aerosmith, and that was like the peak of that.
I remember that line. First of all, 90s Simpsons is best Simpsons. Second of all, there's the line, "Hello, St. Louis." This is Springfield.
Oh, Springfield, Steven.
That was, that was always a big thing for me because I'm from St. Louis. And especially back then, St. Louis didn't always get the love that New York City or Chicago or LA gets. So it's nice to hear that. So we're also, by the way, up to 20 likes, 20 more, and we will get to rock or flop for the festival. Keep the likes coming. Thank you guys so much. Here's the question for chat and also for you too, because I want to get your thoughts on this. We all have seen many bands who have toured well past their prime, and it really shows. Aerosmith is doing the graceful thing. We are not able to perform to the level we used to. It's just not going to work. This is a me thing. Do not take this under Alex or Rowan. This is how I feel. Send your hate mail appropriately, not to everyone. After seeing Motley Crue live in 2022, I'm still shocked that they're going.
So, no, that's fair. That's valid.
I was going to say Motley Crue when you started this sentence.
Yeah, so you do. So you do agree. See, Guns N' Roses, I understand a lot of people say are hit and miss. Gretchen and I saw them live for the first time in 2019. That was a big ol' miss.
I know, yeah, but like not even like that too. The fact that like those bands, because of just like their brand recognition, they're charging like hundreds of dollars for like a ticket, and then like people spend that money. They go through the hassle of like coordinating and getting to the concert, and then it's just like I don't know. I feel like if I had that connection with Motley Crue since like the 80s, and then I saw them how they were now, I feel depressed, man. Like it's so clear that at least some of them just cannot keep up.
Yes.
And I don't know. I'm like, guys, just stop. This is a circus act at this point.
And also,
I love Motley Crue, but I'm bummed.
Yeah.
That it's the band sounds great. And you know what? I'm still kind of bummed about the whole Mick thing. I'm really bummed out that the dudes aren't getting along.
That's what
I was
too. Right? Yeah. With Mick.
Yeah. Super bummed about that whole situation. But like, nothing against anyone personally by any means, but Vince Neil does not sound like Vince Neil did when Motley Crue started. And it's just not an awesome experience. Like, you want to go see and experience it, and it's just not there.
It's not.
And again, like Axl Rose, Guns N' Roses, his vocals are just shot at this point. Again, like, I know it's like hit or miss, but when like he so clearly cannot hit those high notes anymore. He has like his singing voice is like that 50-year-old chain smoking aunt everyone has.
I said
has.
The same thing about the chain smoking. Yeah. Like when Gretchen and I saw him in 2019, not only were they 45 minutes late at a crammed festival in stank heat,
and we weren't
even in the crowd. We were in media just waiting. It was like, screw that. We're not going to go in that crowd for that. We still waited, and even we were disappointed. I can't even imagine how bad the crowd was like really hating that. But I look at it though, Guns N' Roses, they still have Slash. They still have Duff McKagan. They are definitely still playing well. Motley Crue, nothing against John Five, he's great. But Mick Mars was the best musician in that band, and they treated him like garbage.
Oh, easily.
So it's a weird situation. I would completely rather just Motley Crue step aside and do the Aerosmith thing. Whether it's a classy way or they all get fed up and leave, is that better than them just trying to perform? Because when I shot them, it was the Def Leppard Motley Crue tour. And in St. Louis, Motley Crue finished that night after Def Leppard. That didn't go too well. A lot of people left.
Ooh.
So
now going back to your original question, just about when a band should kind of like know when to step down. It's definitely circumstantial. There are old bands who still hold up well in terms of sound and performance. They still can put on a good show.
Yeah.
And then there are just some that are like, guys, you're way past your prime. This isn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's definitely like both. I can think of both examples, but it's just more like, it's definitely like it's a very kind of like circumstantial basis or something like that. If that makes sense.
I do appreciate that. And it derailed into this conversation. I never got to see Aerosmith. None of us did on this call right now. I would still rather them do it this way. They played for decades. Totally. It's not on them that I didn't get to see them. You know, that's not how it works. It's not how it works. And also, if Steven Tyler was in physical pain to try to keep up and he would just try to push through and sound awful and look miserable, I don't want him to do that. No.
Oh,
Yeah, no, and obviously, like, of course, also, like, God knows if he keeps going, just, like, with how they were talking about his vocals just being, like, they need, like, a team of, like, doctors on standby just to make sure he's okay afterwards. It's, like, that can't be a good thing. Who knows what would happen to him if he decided to kind of, like, try and, like, push on or whatever.
If he did the Meatloaf thing and just performed and blood rupture, his vocal cords burst, and he's just all this gross stuff. We don't want to see that. Also, it said... It said in the post, too, he was already working with some of the best medical field and physicians and speech therapists. He has more than enough money to get the best. He is not going to local urgent care and just asking what's wrong, you know? So...
Yeah, it's like another thing too. They have like so much money. None of them are gonna ever have to worry about that again. Their children are never gonna have to worry about that again.
Liv Tyler doesn't have to worry about that because she has Lord of the Rings money. Go ahead, Alex.
Oh, hell yeah.
I was gonna say, I'm with you on this one, both of you 100%. Yeah. Them going out on their terms like this because of the circumstances and them saying, you know what, we can't perform to the level our fans expect us to, and we don't want Steven to hurt himself any further. I totally respect that, and I totally tip my hat to them on making that decision, because as we've just discussed, a lot of bands push it past this point, and I'm really happy that Aerosmith is not.
Yes, and that's Aerosmith,
a good point. Like,
and Aerosmith tickets were expensive, but if they know they could not offer the worth of those tickets, then they're not going to have the show. Many other bands are
refunding people for the shows that were being canceled, so at least they're doing like the right thing there, you know?
Yep, and that's all processing already, if it already hasn't started. I'm pretty sure many people have already gotten their refunds. I applaud it because I don't mind dumping on the guy because he was so awful. Vince Neil's also doing his solo stuff, but he's doing the Motley Crue songs. He's not just doing his solo stuff.
So he's just singing the Motley Crue songs at his solo shows?
Without the rest of Motley Crue, correct. He did that at Blue Ridge last year. And the thing is,
they are his songs.
He helped write them, but still, when he does that, though, and I look and I watch him, he went 18 minutes over his set time at a festival, eating into another band's performance that just straight cut. And why did he cut into it? He had to finish with Girls, 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 and then introduce each band member of his backing band. Just to do that. So the Ghost Inside only had a roughly 15-minute set total because Vince Neil had to go over. And did Vince Neil at least sound good? No. No. So, I, for one, will gladly watch footage of past Aerosmith concerts and see how wild they were in the 80s and 90s and all the wild music videos they did in the 80s and 90s. We have good memories with Aerosmith. We don't need them tainted.
Exactly.
Let's let things go and move on, and we can remember them fondly. Anything else?
We can all be big fans of Aerosmith, of where they were.
Anything else for Aerosmith? I think that was well said. I'm glad we're on the same page too, both with how Aerosmith handled it and what other bands are not doing the Aerosmith fashion. So
I will say, like, a final note, it's good that at least the three of us, and from what I've seen, most of the fans are very understanding of this. I always hate it, like, when fans are like, no, we want you performing till you die or something.
I know.
Like that.
And there are some.
What is wrong with you? Yeah, there are some, and it's just like you got rock stars who are like in their 80s and they are struggling, and it's just like these people are like, you know, on the verge of crumbling. Like, let them retire, let them stop.
Apparently,
why do you need more money?
I think that's part of it too. They just want the money, like the actual musicians too. They want that money, and they want to milk those fans who will pay. And they will pay.
I know, but when you're 80 years old, though, one, how much more money do you need when these are some of the biggest bands of all time? And two, how long are you going to be able to enjoy that money? You know, like, not to be mean, but like, let's be real here.
The best example of this, are any of you guys even remotely familiar with pro wrestling? Just basic stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Basic. Do you know who Ric Flair is?
Oh, yeah.
He's still trying to wrestle in his 70s, and he's had several retirement matches, and each one more embarrassing and worse than the next. For the money, they will do anything. It's an attitude, you know? So it's not always about the show, the performance, it's the attitude. Aerosmith did it right. Aerosmith is not Ric Flair. Maybe they all had the same amount of women, but Aerosmith is not Ric Flair. So. Aerosmith is not Ric Flair. Also, secondary podcast title for this. I won't change it, but still, I think that works well. So as we move on, we're up to 26 likes by my count without refreshing. 14 more likes. We'll play Festival Rock or Flop. We were testing it out earlier. It works well. It'll be ridiculous. Please hit the like button. As we move on to our next story, which I don't like at all, and all three of us have an opinion on, guess who's collecting DUIs again like Pokemon? Wes Scantlin, who just cannot stop himself from getting out of trouble.
Yay!
Goodness. Like, and some people are like, oh, you're just ragging on him. He's the one that's constantly and potentially hurting other people. I've made
people,
my...
This one ended with a SWAT team, by the way. This wasn't just like another meltdown at a concert.
That's a new one,
too. This wasn't another meltdown on stage. This wasn't another bad Nirvana cover, but we probably would be crapping on that, too, if he did that again.
Oh, I forgot about... Voices. I wasn't even thinking about that one. Oh, poor Nirvana.
Yeah.
Can anyone... before I get to the story, can anyone else think about a girl without thinking of the Nirvana cover anymore?
Would like to not, please, and thank you.
I know. I've been ruined by it. So anyway, I've made my opinion very clear over the years. I am not a Puddle of Mud fan. I can not be a fan of other bands and those bands not be monsters and have multiple DUIs, at least now four DUIs and at least four states have records of DUIs for Wes Scantlin. At least four states have them. That is insane. I still don't get it.
I'm just mad because... this is hurting other people territory, and that's where I start to get upset about it. It's like, dude, come on. You're not just trying to hurt yourself, like your body, your choices, whatever. But this you could hurt other people in this instance. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, like, I totally agree. Yeah. And also, there's going to be, I already saw some of the Puddle of Mud defenders. Yes, they exist. I know they exist. Said, come on, people make mistakes. You're not perfect. Making a mistake is when you don't set the alarm clock the night before. Drunk driving is a series of choices before you get behind the wheel. Just less than a month ago, rich beyond reason, world famous Justin Timberlake got a DUI. Justin Timberlake has enough money to hire a permanent man cab where he just gets picked up and carried wherever he goes, so his feet never have to touch the floor again. He's that rich.
Yes, and by the way, Wes Scantlin has exceeded his like mistakes or something like that. I'm pretty sure if you go on like Google Images and just look up Wes Scantlin, like half of them are just going to be mugshot photos, and there's like a dozen different ones. This man has like one of the track records as far as rock stars go.
We're gonna do it live, Wes Scantlin. No goading or anything. What do we got, Google? The news images are right away about the SWAT team. He got pepper sprayed. We'll get to the other stuff. Images
for balls.
I know.
Pepper balls.
Pepper balls, are they just like...
Like, I'll explain in a second, just the images. So many of them are performance. So, like, one of them is a mugshot. One of them's the A face from the Nirvana cover.
Oh,
some of them are the recent stuff of, like, him being interviewed about the DUI. Oh, yeah, and one's a mugshot. At least one's a mugshot of the first page of images. So, yeah. So let me read the quote. Let me go back to it. This is from Blabbermouth. Scantlin was reportedly pulled over for a traffic violation in Burbank, California, and was asked to get out of his car after police realized he had a warrant out for a previous alleged offense of possessing a weapon at an airport. So he had a warrant for carrying a weapon, and not just a pocket knife, at an airport. First of all, you're a moron if you're trying to pull that with TSA, but that's besides the story.
Yeah.
The musician reportedly refused to leave his Hummer H2. Oh, I didn't know it was a Hummer.
It's perfect that it's a Hummer, though. Out of every freaking car.
Wes Scantlin drove a Hummer H2. That's the most embarrassing part of the story.
But it's so perfect. It's so perfect.
Even with a crisis negotiator was called in to negotiate, forcing the cops to use pepper spray to get Scantlin out. When even the pepper spray did not work, that's intense too. I don't know if he had like rolled the windows up or something. The Burbank Police Department Special Weapons and Tactics SWAT team was called around 4 a.m. to break the car window to shoot non-lethal pepper balls to make him leave the truck and surrender.
Ouch.
remind me real quick, what are pepper balls? I know what pepper spray is, and I know SWAT teams also have like those guns that shoot bean bags and all
riot control. But like, it's like the bean bags, but for greater distance is what it's saying. I just looked it out right now. And testing those powerful pepper ball gun.
That just blows out like pepper.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking at right now, the images of it. So they're better for distance. And if they explode like that, like a paintball, and the pepper spray inside, if there is pepper spray inside too, what are you doing? It got that far. By the way, if SWAT gets involved, it's not a misdemeanor anymore. It's not a slap on the wrist, $50. You know, especially if you already had a warrant out. Especially if you already had a warrant out for a weapon at the airport.
You know it had to be really serious, by the way. Again, just like you said, it wasn't a pocket knife. This man refused to leave his car, and they had to get SWAT involved. He was hiding something. He really did not want to go to jail.
He...
We're on stand off.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
We almost had Wes Scantlin Waco in a Hummer.
Yeah, but by himself, too. TMZ reports that Scantlin was taken to hospital to get his eyes flushed from the pepper balls, but was otherwise unharmed, booked for the weapons warrant, and a new charge of resisting arrest, and is due to appear in court on August 20th. So that's a fast turnaround for court time, too. Meaning they're a little more angry with him now because he has previous offenses in California. What do I say about this? I could go on the rant about if your DUIs cause so many more problems. I, for one... think the United States, and I don't understand how no politicians have gotten behind this. We are way behind and the laughingstock in the rest of the nation for DUI punishments. Most nations, first world nations throughout the world, if you get a DUI, they take away your license for good. That's it. You don't get second chances. Here, depending on state to state, you might get a high five from the judge and say, don't do it again.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to go back to what I said at the beginning of this. I'm not okay with that because it's not just you that you can hurt in any of these situations. A lot of other people. So, yeah. I mean, I completely agree. That should be how it works.
I know the whole thing about drugs and alcohol is that, like, it messes with your brain. It does impair your judgment. At the same time, though, if you know you're going to be, like, you know, you're going to be drinking or just, like, doing anything, have like a strategy to get home without having to like drive and put yourself and others in danger. Get an Uber, get like a friend to drive you or something like that. Please, for the love of God, do anything other than actually get behind the wheel.
Joke answer, maybe he doesn't have any friends. Serious answer, he's in Burbank.
He fired all his friends.
He's in Burbank, one of the, in Los Angeles, biggest city in the nation, or one or two of that, New York. Uber and Lyft are everywhere. And he has a phone.
You can Lyft anywhere. Like
I used to live in Burbank. I could get an Uber in like 5 minutes at like 2 o'clock in the morning from West Hollywood. Like, not even joking.
Second joke answer. Maybe Uber and Lyft saw that it was Wes Scantlin ordering and they all canceled.
Everyone was denying him. Yes.
That's rough.
That would make sense.
I can't blame him. I wouldn't want him in my car. So maybe that is it too. But again, I can make jokes. No one was hurt outside of Wes's eyes who had to go get him flushed out. I don't count that, though. That's your own fault. So
I'm guessing the sobriety run has kind of like...
He's had many sobriety runs and ups and downs. He had Puddle of Mudd's comeback album 2019. That was like their first in 10 years. Was one of the worst albums I heard that year. And it fizzled out really quickly. So I don't know if that had to do with it, because the following year was the 2020 SiriusXM Nirvana debacle. So it was not the comeback he was hoping for. But all that said, terrible, rough career later in the game. Still not an excuse to get DUI. Still not an excuse to get drunk and get behind the wheel and then knock it out when SWAT team is after you. If I knew a helicopter was at with me, I'd be terrified. How do you just not listen? Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you're having a standoff with the cops. How do you think this is going to end? Like, seriously, what is your game plan here? I know he probably didn't think of that, but still.
He was inebriated. You don't think straight in those instances. He was like, this is a great idea.
Yeah.
Chris Rock said it best. If the cops have to come get you, they're going to bring an ass kicking with them.
Someone in the chats made me laugh.
Oh, boy.
This is not coming from me. This is coming from the chat. But y'all are clever. Uh-huh. Y'all are clever. I'm going to give you that.
I know which one you're reading. Yes.
After he was pepper sprayed, he's like, everything's so blurry. Dude, come on.
Jeez. Oh, come on, man.
Let's not give him him more material to have inspiration from. It seems like a surprise. Yeah. Yeah, I see the comments. Yeah. We hit 40 likes during the West Scantlin discussion, so we will play Festival Rock or Flop later. It'll be worth it, guys. I promise it's fun. We do it at the end
Imagine
of the stream.
Puddle Mud is on that.
He is in the file, so it is definitely possible.
It's possible.
I made it fair with good and bad bands. I made it as fair as possible. Yeah. So we'll do it at the end. Also, if you have any super chats, we will read all your super chats at the end by name. Also, any gift memberships like last week are helped tremendously. Ad revenue is very little. And there are costs for the podcast, especially for the three of us. So please, if you have any questions and you want us to answer them and give you a shout out on the podcast, this is how you do it. We'll answer them all. Anything else we want to say about Puddle of Mud? I can't imagine they're going on tour anytime soon.
This is like the last thing I
was just
going
to say.
This is like the last thing I want to say. And legit, I don't want to like come across as just like I'm needlessly picking on the guy, or I'm just like constantly trying to like put him down or something like that. But would you say at this point he's just more known for his outbursts and just like his run-ins with the law than his music at this point?
Since 2009. Since 2009, yes.
Yeah.
2000's Puddle of Mud, he was known for the music. I will be fair about that.
Because no one, I don't know anyone who talks about the music anymore. Whenever someone brings up Wes Scantlin, it's because he had another meltdown or something like that.
Alex, have you ever seen Puddle of Mud live?
I have not. I missed one of the shows, so I'm not really a fan of this man's decorum at an event I sent one of my photographers to. Okay, this was many, 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 many years ago. Mm-hmm. He thought it was okay to pour beer on my photographer and spit in her camera. So, you know, that I was like, probably don't ever need to go see
Absolute,
these guys.
Okay, yeah, no, scumbag. Whatever sympathy I had for him, I have just completely lost that now.
I was going to say
this
also.
This was a first-hand experience. I'm like, nah. Yeah. You lost it for me, dude.
Yeah, pour beer on a photographer's camera. Yeah, great.
Literally
mature,
there,
man.
Just doing her job. Spitting in the camera, pouring his beer on her. I'm like, nah.
I think also he was willing to do that to like her. If it was a bigger guy, I don't think he would have done it probably.
Yeah,
I guess
he's like,
yeah. So
my sweet little blue-haired photographer girl.
So awful. And like Rowan, you were saying, I don't want to sound like I'm picking on the guy. You get it multiple DUIs. I don't care about your feelings. I really don't. Sorry. Regardless
it's
of
just
the music.
More like for this. It's just more like I don't want to constantly like bring it up, which is like, oh yeah, it's Wes Scantlin, terrible person. You know what else is new? Sky's still blue.
Okay. Let's move on to some good news. And this will be brief, but it is worth it because we talked about it last week. It was the talk of all last week. Gojira dominating the French Olympics. But not only that, not only was the opening ceremony for this year's Olympics the most watched opening ceremony ever, which I think is impressive considering the time of day it was on, the weekday it was on. This was it. This was the most watched ever. I think that's killer. Gojira was front and center and the positive talking point. And Rowan, you brought it up too. Would you like to sit? I don't know if you have the numbers in front of you or not. How much of a gain did Gojira increase by monthly listeners?
Okay, so just to give context, before the performance, Gojira had 1.8 million Spotify listeners. Since the performance at the castle, it has now gone up to 2.7 million. So that's nearly a million at the time of this episode. And again, like that is just like insane. Clearly, so many people were blown away, and this was just kind of like maybe like a wake up call, or like not a wake up call, but like you know some sort of like awakening to like, oh hey, this is awesome. I like this. I want more. So it's just like it just goes to show you just like just how impactful it can be when we actually like have like more metal in mainstream now. You know?
Who's going to see Cord and Gojira in Spirit Box, by the way? Not me.
Me.
Woo! I want to so bad. I want to hear Stranded live. I want to hear Stranded before I die.
It's like now I have more. I've been following Gojira for years, seen him live many times, but now I'm about to get to hear Metal Les Mis. That amps things way up. When my sister, who could not care less about metal, was even super impressed by this and wanted to learn more, you know you hit it out of the park. Also,
my grandma, for real, like,
and I'm like, grandma. Oh, yeah.
There you go. Your metal grandma. Man, I wish my grandma was metal back in the day. She was a George Strait person. Not exactly metal, so.
Yeah. No, dude, like, Les Mis is my mom's favorite play. So when I showed her that clip, she was just like, oh my God, I can't believe this is real.
Right? Like, awesome to see. We got a super chat in. We'll get to it at the end of the stream after we're getting through stuff and when we get to the game. So don't worry, we'll get all the super chats.
I will say,
go ahead.
Last thing I will say, though, if they ever do like a Les Mis metal version, like if they just have like Gojira do like all the music at like a Les Mis play, I will buy front row tickets.
Everyone would. It would sell out fast. It'd probably do better in Europe.
It would.
But regardless, I would also like to point out 2.7 million monthly listeners down from 1.8. That's at least a $50 increase from Spotify. At least. So good for Gojira. Good for Gojira for that extra $50.
So, go enjoy a nice coffee today, Gojira.
You get the extra pizza, Gojira.
So they can all get like a value meal at McDonald's or something like that.
If they don't get the large fries and large drink, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
So can't get everything, but awesome for Gojira. Now we're going to go for one other bit of news, and this is where Alex is going to take over because you are repping the band and you were telling us about how you were in a music video for them. Butcher Babies have announced a tour. However, it's minus one baby or one butcher, you see it. Probably one butcher baby is the right way to say it. So I'll let you take lead on a little bit of this because you probably know more about it. Butcher Babies announcing a tour and there's a lineup change. Go for it.
Well, so Butcher Babies just announced a new tour and they have new music on this run. So that's super exciting for Butcher Babies fans. They're hitting the road with Dead, as well as Dropout Kings and Fox Lake. So I'm super excited about that. I'm a huge Butcher Babies fan. I'm a huge Dead fan. So this tour is going to be awesome, but we're missing Carla Harvey of the Butcher Babies. And are you familiar with Butcher Babies, Luke?
Yeah, like they started the band together because she's also with, I can never pronounce, the drummer from Anthrax. I interviewed them both twice over the years. And they've been the visual part of Butcher Babies, the front and center singers, for well over 14 years, if I'm correct.
Oh, yeah. They got started in like 2010. And Rowan, are you familiar with the band at all?
Fortunately, I'm not, but I'm definitely going to start listening to them after this podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, they're super, super rad.
If you guys are vouching for them. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Like, Carla Harvey and Heidi Shepherd started Butcher Babies in like 2010. And their first few albums, super solid, super hit me. Like, we were talking last week, Spirit Box's Eternal Blue.
Yeah.
When Goliath, the debut album from Butcher Babies, came out, it was the same thing for me. It hit me right where it needed to, right in that moment.
Okay.
So hearing that Carla left the Butcher Babies recently was kind of a major bummer. Because like you said, Luke, the two of them were like the mouthpiece of the band for almost 15 years.
They were. And
they released two EPs, five full lengths, toured the world with a ton of bands.
They did. They constantly toured too. I mean, they were a lot of tours over the years. I also want to ask, what did you think of their most recent album last year, the double album?
So I really haven't dug too much into it. I'm not going to lie to you.
I didn't dig into. See, I was not crazy about it at all. And my thinking is maybe that's where some of the backlash came, because not only did that happen, Butcher Babies were on tour with the headlining tour Mudvayne last year. That was a lot of people do. That was statistically one of the worst selling tours of the year. They were playing in way too big of venues, and they were playing bigger amphitheaters, but barely selling 2,000 tickets per, like the big amphitheater ones. So it was not a great look. And from what people were telling me, at least at three venues, like, because I know photographers, I know people from Live Nation working them, not everyone showed up on time for Butcher Babies. So when I say Butcher Babies were playing for a low amount of people at a huge amphitheater night after night, that adds to the problem.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're kind of skewing things. You're not putting everything in their full context, you know?
So I do wonder if that's
it. That does bum me out.
Yeah. And like, I remember seeing photos both in Bristow, Virginia, Tampa, and St. Louis. Like city and where I know photographers and where venues I'm familiar with, it was across the board. And I do wonder if that added to it. If I'm correct, Carla is going to continue with music and probably make her own stuff now.
She will be. She actually shared some updates. She's recording on stuff. She's in the studio. But the thing that kind of threw me for a loop on this whole thing happening with Carla leaving the band, she's been, you know, kind of out of the band for a few months now. She had to get some eye surgery last fall. She had to get retinal reattachment eye surgery. So she was not touring. Yeah, she wasn't a part of the most recent kind of tour dates with the band. And so I was like, oh, okay, but she'll still come back. And then she was like, yeah, I'm not coming back. And I'm like, what? Damn it. I was still holding out hope you were going to return. But she is going to still be making music. So I'm stoked to see what she's working on.
It'll be interesting to see what how different it is from Butcher Baby's material. So that being said, I wanted to give you some time and inflect on that. If you have any other advice for Butcher Babies, if you, like, say, Rowan, if you had to guide Rowan, what do you listen to first for Butcher Baby's best material? Where would you start?
Oh, hell
She's vouching Goliath, so.
Yeah, Goliath. You have to start at Goliath. So, like I said, I didn't really dig into the last double album very much. I know the singles, that's about it. I know that's not really good fangirl of me. But the first two albums are super, super good. Even the first EP before Goliath dropped is awesome. So, Rowan, check out Goliath.
Okay.
All right.
So, Rowan has a homework assignment. So, very nice.
next week I'll give my thoughts. I'll get like my little album review of Goliath.
There you go. There you go. Your homework assignment. And then, okay. All right. Here's your oral report on what we were assigned. So just have to read it off awkwardly in front of the class. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's just like, here's my presentation on Butcher Baby's Goliath.
Yeah.
I expect a full trifold board and everything.
Oh, you can make him do PowerPoint, like actually have a good demonstration too.
No, I'm talking like science fair project, like trifold board.
Oh, I need a diorama or something like that. Come on.
Like have a, like the little display like on the cardboard table and stuff too. Pop-ups of the vinyl, like just photos of the live stuff.
You can include, if you go back to the beginning, your PowerPoint presentation or your trifold presentation can even include the nipple tape.
They also had a term. They also had a term describing themselves. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. When way back in the first year, they described themselves as slut metal.
That was way, 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 way in the beginning.
Yes. Rowan's face said it all.
They ditched the nipple tape.
Yes.
They ditched the
nipple tape.
I've never
heard slut metal before.
That was a temporary.
I'm curious and a little bit
scared. Even I can say that was a temporary thing. It was more of a gimmick, but that was their initial way of marketing. Boy, is that putting it politely.
It's like when the summoning first dropped and people were calling Sleep Token sex metal or whatever. That's just like, what the hell does that imply?
Once you see them live, you get it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So, Alex, did you stay around for Sleep Token at Sick New World?
I did. It was fun. And everybody was, I mean, there was a lot of sounds and
they were in the mood. Reactions. They were in the mood. Is that what you were trying to say? Yeah.
It was very hot. It was very spicy.
It was Vegas.
At 11 o'clock at night.
It was a Saturday night in Vegas. It's just normal for that over there. So.
I don't know. It doesn't usually get that spicy at 11.
That's true.
Maybe by like 2 or 3.
Especially after System of a Down plays. I guess you're not in the mood especially for that. Maybe some people
you
are.
You know that tested some friendships. Being like, oh, do we see Sleep Token or do we see System of a Down?
They played after.
Weren't they playing at like the same time?
I
thought they played at the same time.
Sleep Token closed out like an after hour type thing, but it was like a little bit of layover at the end.
Oh, okay, so, yeah.
So.
A little bit.
Yeah, by the way, Sick New World, great. I'm hoping to go next year.
Me too. Same. You should go, Rowan.
Rowan, you would like it.
I plan to.
It's a wild one-day festival, but the cool thing is if you want to just camp out at a stage and watch band after band, you can. And there's the rotating stages, so.
I have no shame in doing that, like, for real. I will just camp out in the desert, honestly, of Vegas.
I wouldn't go that far. At least it's not in the shady, awful, where the festival grounds are. It's not the shady, awful part of Vegas, which is also nice.
Okay.
So, as we move on, we now go from, how do I segue into this? Because there's a lot I want to get into. We might go a little long, like an extra 10, 15 minutes on the podcast. Alex Rowan, are you okay with that?
I'm fine with that.
Just making sure. We'll have a story time on this because ladies and gentlemen, everyone involved, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, we are going to Loserville to talk about what in the world is going on that tour. So, first of all, before we get into... I don't know if the applause are going to be appropriate for what I'm about to say. So, Corey Feldman will be part of the discussion. I want to get to this part of it first. Loserville, headlined by Limp Bizkit, is featuring four lesser-known acts, including former 80s child star and musician as of the 2010s, Corey Feldman. If you've not seen Corey Feldman live, boy, is that a spectacle, but we'll get to that in a second. Limp Bizkit is, the tour is doing okay. It's a hit and miss tour. Like, one venue does really well, one market does not so great. The next market does good, the next one not so great. It's been an up and down, apparently, depending on location, venue, things like that. I want to tell a story, one from Learn of St. Louis, 105.7 The Points. I got to be on the morning show with them at the Rizzuto Show. Great people. Learn was a die-hard Limp Bizkit fan back in the day. So, what happened was, The Points was asked to help promote the show, the tickets for the St. Louis stop, and because tickets were not selling well there originally. And whoever was in Limp Bizkit's camp, apparently this was not Fred Durst's idea, said, we want all the DJs on the Rizzuto Show to make a one-minute audition, and whoever wins gets to perform the song Turn It Up with Limp Bizkit on stage. The song Turn It Up is from the 2020 album, Limp Bizkit Still Sucks, that did not do great. It was kind of forgotten, but they're still pushing it as a single. So, is everyone following me still far? There's going to be a little audition from three of the Rizzuto Show hosts of the morning show in St. Louis. I sent the link to Alex and Rowan. I'm going to show a clip of it at double speed just to kind of give the time, and I'll post the link on the website and stuff later. Learn knocked it out of the park. So she did a whole pantomime of the lyrics and like a whole one-shot thing of her becoming Fred with hair, makeup, the hats, while she's giving, like, rapping, giving the lines. It was an awesome idea, really well done. Everything looked great. Learn won. It was fun. Everything was on board. It was very cool. You can see this on 105.7 The Point's YouTube channel. After that, Day of Show comes. Learn Meath goes up there to meet the band and get introduced to Fred Durst. First, Fred Durst says, oh, you won? This must have been rigged. Learn, taken aback a little bit, goes, what do you mean? Fred Durst says, like, we were looking for another rapper, someone that can rap. And you were the one that won by default because the other two were joke entries. To which I, in my mind, go, but Fred, you're looking for a rapper when you can't rap. That was not said. That Learn didn't say that. Nothing like that. But he's already putting her down saying, you won by default. This must have been rigged when they picked her.
Yeah.
Already on a terrible footing. Anyway.
It's just like such a scumbag thing to say. It's like, we just picked you just because we couldn't find anyone else.
And Learn told the whole story the day after it happened on the air and things like that. So a little bit later, Fred Durst was shooting hoops without his wig in the back of the venue. Learn says, hey, can I shoot with you? And he starts giving her the business again. Just starts talking down to her, busting chops. Nothing was ever explained why. So she met the rest of the band. The rest of the band were nice. No issues. Time came for the performance. St. Louis knew Learn. Learn outperformed Fred Durst on his own song, apparently. I think that is hilarious and well-deserved. It's all over.
That's some instant karma right there.
Yes, exactly. And it's so cool to see that. The clips of that are all over YouTube as well. Worth seeking out. And that was the end of it. The end.
Ouch.
Right? That was one of the tour dates that did well, because the station stepped in and helped so much, and that's how she got treated.
Ooh.
Right? So, I wanted to give that story out. I wanted Learn to have that, because the audition that I'm showing was so well done. That alone earned her more respect than I think Mr. Durst was owed in this whole situation. But we now go to the other topic. One, Corey Feldman, who is definitely getting some attention on this tour. Now, have either of you two seen Corey Feldman live? If you haven't, that's okay.
Thankfully, no.
Six solos lately on the internet.
That's what we're going to play.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to play that.
I don't know if it's just
right
my
now.
Feed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just my feed, but I'm constantly, every time I like bring up Instagram, I'm constantly like seeing like clips from his performances, and it's like a fever dream.
Yeah. So I was at Riot Fest last year, and I posted the first 60 seconds of the opening, and it went viral on on TikTok first. It got almost 1 million hits. On Instagram, it got several hundred thousand. It's beyond definition what you see. It's apparently like that every tour, though. It's so awkward. Have you, did either of you see what I posted? You probably haven't. Oh, do I?
I've seen this clip. Yeah.
Alex, have you? Because I actually do want to see what your reaction is. If you've not seen it, that's okay. If you have, that's okay.
I don't know if this is the same one I saw, but it looks like it's the same thing I saw.
We're going to find out. You'll know it as soon as you see like the stage and stuff the way it is.
I just gotta say, by the way he's holding the guitar, it's like, especially like his like picking hand, it's like it looks so uncomfortable, honestly.
It does. And what I'm showing on screen now, in one of his several outfit changes, he changes outfit every song. All are Michael Jackson inspired. There's some question if he's actually playing. Like, if the solos themselves are not spliced in or not, that I don't know. So I will not confirm or deny. I have no idea. On screen right now, you guys will have to, it'll have to wait a second. Let me know, Alex, if this is the one you've seen before. Boy, this is giving me flashbacks. So anyway, while this is loading and while you guys are waiting for it, Corey Feldman is apparently still weirding people out and expecting everyone to know his songs and all this lyrics and stuff, and no one knows who he is. Like, they don't even, some of the audience doesn't even know that he was a huge child star in the 80s. So, yeah.
And someone's calling him Tommy Wiseau in chat, by the way. If you guys know who Tommy Wiseau
is. The room. It's not terrible.
With the hair, it's, I kind of see it. Yeah.
See, this is just the first 60 seconds of a 30-minute set from Riot Fest last year. He stops the show because they weren't on beat after he gets tried to have the crowd chanted at him. And that's said correctly because the crowd didn't know what was going on. Alex, you just saw it. Yeah. It's not great. And apparently stuff like this is happening live too. I want to quell any rumors though. I assure all of you, this is not a bit. This is not like some weird Andy Kaufman anti-human behavior, like it's all for laughs and meant to be bad. This is very serious. He takes it very real. So now we play a solo from the man. It'll catch up in a second for you guys. And I'm playing the link that Rowan sent. For those listening on the podcast form, he's just pushing a button like a wah paddle wham button on the guitar. He's not actually strumming at that point. He's not doing a lot. How would we describe Corey Feldman to someone without being able to see Corey Feldman? Like his live ability. Do either of you have thoughts? Just what you see on screen and what you know about it? Because I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what else to say about the... What is he? How do I say this? He's the welcoming committee of Loserville.
I feel like Fred knew what he was doing when he brought Corey on. I think Fred is trying to, like, you know, make this more of a spectacle by just having like this absolute like this weird clown like show going on, basically. Because like, say what you will about it being bad, but it's in its own way, it's entertaining. It's like a train wreck. It's like, it's so bad, but I can't look away from it. I need to see how deep the rabbit hole goes, basically.
A good friend of mine, Crash Thompson, last year when I was at Riot Fest, I posted this, like the 60-second clip that I shared. He goes, do you have any more footage? I want to see more. I'm like, no,
yeah.
But I assure you there's going to be footage online from 100 different people. Because people are showing up to see him for this, that are showing up early for the Loserville tour. I did not go to this. I did not shoot it. I have not seen it live. I don't know how to segue out of this. Corey Feldman is a hypnotic anomaly of music. And someone in the chat just said that is guitar abuse. Well, Well,
I mean, what's the saying? What's the saying? No press is bad press. We're talking about it. That's what they want.
Yes. And see, the thing is, I don't know if he sees it that way. His publicist and label probably do see it that way. They're probably like, oh, yeah, don't talk bad about him. You know,
they're probably talented. They're probably telling him that it's like, oh, yeah, Corey, people on Instagram can't get enough of you. They're like, you know, you're blowing up there, but it's for all the wrong reasons. But in his mind, this is validating him. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm a real rock star. I'm hot shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we do know this for a fact, at least from the St. Louis tour stop, the radio stations talk about it. No one bought his meet and greet, his VIP meet and greet, because it was over $200 a piece. Maybe if he lowered the price down, someone might jump on it. Maybe. But that being said, I don't know how else to move on to this. Besides, we have some more positive news to talk about. Two festivals I want to bring up. Riot Fest is coming up. I'm posting the lineup right now on screen, so it'll catch up for you two in a second. September 20th through the 22nd in Chicago, Riot Fest last year was great. This year it's Riot Land at a festival setting in a stadium. They're redoing the inside and outside grounds of the stadium. Total variety of this one, too. Friday, Fall Out Boy. Saturday, Beck. Sunday, The Return of Slayer and Rob Zombie. It's a whole lot. Riot Fest is one of the best, most organized, well-run festivals I've ever been to last year. It was so great. This is kind of pulling back the curtain, how well they treated media. And Alex will get a kick out of this, Rowan, when she started doing more media and stuff, because you've done photography. The media area was not only like a tip bar, open bar for whatever you wanted. Not only was it shaded and all these nice tables and tons of space, they had free massage tables. You could get a massage whenever Alex's face just drops, right?
What?
I have footage of like one of the shorts I did of, the singer of Code Orange, Jamie, getting a massage right before my interview, you know? It's for everyone. So it's so nice, and they're doing it in bigger grounds. It'll also feature Sum 41 on their farewell tour. 3 days of NoFX if you're into the punk stuff. Also, that'll feature Lamb of God and Mastodon, that tour. St. Vincent if you're into the more alternative stuff, you know? It has variety for everyone. If you can get to Chicago or the Midwest, or this lineup speaks to you, they do such a good job. Such a good job there, and I can't recommend the festival enough. So that's the one I want to
play. I'm sold, right? Honestly, I would love, if I can get there, I'm down. Just seeing Slayer back is awesome.
Like, and this is the first
I saw them on their farewell.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I saw them on their farewell tour back in 2018, like at Jones Beach. And that was just like incredible, honestly. That was just like one of my favorite concerts of all time. I remember Anthrax opened for them, Napalm Death, Testament. Oh my God, who else was there? No, yeah, I think it was like those three. But like, again, it was just like so awesome. And oh my God, it was just like, because it was like their farewell tour as well, it was just like, it made it feel like special too, because it was like, I was like really the only person in my family getting into Slayer. I was the only one who like, you know, kind of like that was a band I was like, I kind of found this on my own. And I'm happy to say that it like, you know, I grew to appreciate it without like any external sort of like, influence, you know?
Gotcha.
That kind of just helps you. Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Alex, did you ever see Slayer with the DWP stuff?
Nope, I did not. Well, okay. I was there.
Gotcha.
But I was there.
I get what you mean. I have a lot of stories for that too. So this will be the true return. They announced three performances for this year: Riot Fest, Louder Than Life, Aftershock, and Riot Fest is first. This is the only non-DWP performance. Will Slayer do more in 2025? We don't know. All I know is this is the return of Slayer at Riot Fest. It's going to be nuts. Sunday is definitely the metal day, if that's your thing. Suicidal Tendencies, if I'm correct, is also playing on Sunday. So there's a lot of stuff there for that. Now we move on.
The Warning. Hell yeah.
Oh, I know. I love The Warning, too. They're going to be there.
I love The Warning.
Yeah, they're so great. I've never seen them live, and I'm hoping they approve me so I can work that one. There's a lot of stuff here that's worth checking out. So that being said, more information, riotfest.org. You can check all that out. Tell them I sent you.
I love how the poster is like super like pink and blue and just like very sort of like pop 80s feel, but then you got like the Slayer like logo. Yes, I don't know. It's correct. Just like such a juxtaposition. It's just awesome.
Also, some of the events they have, because they also have like the carnival rides there like to make that more fun, like the big egg scrambler and the thing that shoots you way up in the high and spins you around. They also are going to have a Kevin Smith appreciation situation. Like, if you ever seen Clerks or Clerks 2, they're going to have like the convenience store set up for like full photos and to do like the experience there. So they're really going out of their way to make it a cool thing. So,
oh yeah.
That being said, I now bring up a new festival that's going to come in 2025. And I spoke with this for Alex and Rowan. Arklatex. What is Arklatex? Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas. The people at Arklatex, and I have the website up right now, very just basic because they haven't announced anything yet besides just basic stuff, is aiming for October 2025 for a metal festival for that region where they really don't have a metal festival. I think the closest for them is Rocklahoma, if I'm correct. This will be right outside Shreveport, about hour to hour and a half away from Baton Rouge, the capital, another hour away from New Orleans. They are trying to make this legit at a racetrack, two stages at least, big festival dedicated to heavy music. I am for this because that shows after pandemic, festivals are trying to grow again, especially independent festivals. And I'm not saying anything against DWP, but the more independent festivals that are trying to pop up and thrive, the better for everybody. Now, we don't know any lineup yet. They're still looking for sponsors and everything, but they already have a lot invested into it. And they already have the go-ahead. They already checked out plans for the grounds, food trucks, security, all parking, all that stuff. The basic logistics. I'm very happy.
They might have camping options too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of cool stuff. Camping will also be a part of it. Are either of you campers?
I've done it. I'm not. It's okay.
I can't be outside long enough without getting an allergic reaction to something. So it's just not going to happen for me. But if you want to,
I like hiking. I don't like staying overnight though.
There you go. Yeah. I need a shower and I need, you know, to work and internet and stuff, you know, so make fun of me all you want.
Also, by the way, also after a while, you just get tired of the bug bites just all over your legs.
Also, this is mean. You think metal fans smell already without using deodorant? Think of them camping for 3 days.
Wipies are for.
Like they use those. Like,
after a while, you get used to the smell, though.
I don't. I can't. And even I'm trying. Yeah.
No, thank you. Mm-mm.
See, I've
never camped, so I can't speak on it.
Yeah, I've never camped, but I've been around the campers. And I've seen enough to know, like, not for me, no. However, I know it's for other people. Also, glamping doesn't count. When you have your own super expensive trailer with a built-in shower and flat screen TV and all this stuff, that doesn't really count, does it?
It's got like a mobile house, yeah.
Roughing it, yes, exactly. So, that being said, I'm very happy that something like Arklatex is there. There's going to be more information coming. They're aiming for October 2025. Over a year to plan. I hope they get a good amount of bands, and I hope they get a lot of attention for Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Arklatex. You get it? I really do hope that they get something like this. When we book a festival later, it won't be the same lineup, I promise. Maybe it will. Who knows? I don't know what the random festival maker is going to make for us this time. But camp and hotel. I just camp in hotels and motels. Yeah, same. You want to play camp? Yeah, I'll make the sheets into a little camp fort. There, that's my camping.
Yeah.
So now we move on briefly because we're already over an hour. Thank you guys for hanging out because we started early too. I really do appreciate it. The numbers are better. More people tuned in and are watching us talk and rant and just goof around. Weird. So that being said, one surprise that I do want to talk about, or two surprises, I should say, for announcements of new music and upcoming music. Rowan, you have the upcoming albums for this Friday.
But I want to
talk. But I do want to talk about these two first. Jack White released a surprise new album called No Name. In true Jack White form, this is Spirit of Rock and Roll, no frills, just some good old gut-busting hard rock. It's fun. I liked it a lot. If you're into that, if you just want some fun Jack White rock that's not super experimental, that's more back to the basics, this is it. It's work. It's worth it. It's good. So, just wanted to point that out. Also, Alex talks about Butcher Babies. She's wearing the shirt. I'm talking about Better Lovers because I'm a big fan. I'm wearing the shirt. It's mirrored for some reason, but that's okay. I'll worry about that later. I forgot to flip it. You know what? I don't know why it always does that, but I'm just so tired of things not working when I need them to. It's not like this is live or anything, but that's okay. Hi, podcast listeners. You're listening to me do this, something that's nothing that you can't even see. There we go. Sheesh. Anyway, Better Lovers, the supergroup formed from members of Every Time I Die and the Dillinger Escape Plan, have announced their full debut LP. They had their EP come out last year. My favorite EP of the year. It's loud, it's wild, it's bonkers, and it's awesome. Well, Highly Irresponsible, the name of the new album, is coming out in October. They have a headline tour in October and November. And they released the new single, A White Horse Covered in Blood. It is exactly as bonkers and wild as you expect a project from the Dillinger Escape Plan and Every Time I Die to combine for. I just want to give that little plug. Very cool stuff for there. You can check that on rock.net. Now, as we do this, we go over to Rowan. You had some of the albums coming up this Friday.
I do. We have some good ones actually coming out. So nice. First of all, we have King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard with Flight B-741. This is the first King Gizzard Lizard Wizard. I can never say that title.
It's a lot of random words.
I can never say that title without just like going over my words or whatever. Yeah. But here's, so this is like the first album that they're making on their new label, which is P Doom Records, if I am pronouncing that right. It's probably something weird and all that stuff. It's King Gizzard and Lizard Wizard. Those guys literally do nothing but make music. I am convinced. Like they've been around for like 10 years and they already have like 20 something albums. It's an insane amount.
And also the albums do not sound alike, which is also
bonkers. No, they do not.
So
no, they're actually good. It's like I can't say like I can't. Yeah, they made 5 albums in 1 year. What other band can say they did that? We also have Mushroomhead's Call the Devil. So Mushroomhead is coming back. If anyone knows them, they're kind of like to Slipknot what Megadeth is to Metallica. A lot of people feud with them from both fan bases. No one can seem to like agree if one band is superior than the other. Everyone likes to say that Slipknot. Like,
I vote Slipknot. That's just me. So
okay. Looking forward to that. And I don't know if I can say this band's name out loud on the air.
Just say F'd Up.
Yeah, no. F'd Up, you know, their full name is not the abbreviation, but they have an album coming out called Another Day. From what I've gathered, they are a hardcore punk band. So if you're into that, you're going to be eating well this week.
Fair enough. So we got a lot of information out in a short amount of time. First, I'm going to go over the Super Chats, because I know Sleaze had one, and then we're going to get to Festival Rock or Flop, and then we'll start wrapping things up. One Super Chat from Cinematic Sterling, and this is a good talking point. What are your thoughts on the new Marilyn Manson comeback new song, if you've heard it? I have not heard the song. I do wonder how that tour with Five Finger Death Punch is going. And I also wonder how they are going about all this with all the many, many, many legal troubles he's in.
I haven't heard it either, but I gotta say, like, I do have to say, ever since that came out, this kind of goes back to just, like, the classic argument, like, separating art from artists, because, like, Marilyn Manson is, as a person, very terrible, but at the same time, he's made some, like, my all-time favorite songs or even albums. Mechanical Animals, I'm gonna say it, that's a guilty pleasure for me. Like, I know that's, like, it's maybe not on many people's, like, top albums or whatever stuff, but, like, when I listened to that for the first time, I loved that, honestly. Gotcha. Like, start Alex, to finish. Any thoughts?
I was trying to secretly listen to the new song right now.
well, we were talking. Cheated.
Yeah. It was low. I could hear both of the things.
You're good.
Not an ass. Yeah. But, I mean, this is his first release through Nuclear Blast. So yes. I've heard, you know, through the rumor mill and down the grapevine, a lot of people are like, oh, Nuclear Blast, what are you guys doing with Marilyn Manson? So I am curious to dig into this new music under a new label. I want to know what he's been doing. And I mean, I'm kind of going to go with Rowan on this. Some of those old songs, you can't really deny. Some of them are bangers from the old days, you know, very nostalgic, very reminiscent of like, oh yeah, this is like 90s Marilyn Manson.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't know. The personal stuff versus the professional stuff.
It's hard to ignore so much of the personal stuff when so much keeps coming out consistently.
Yeah, no, it's like,
it's a flood.
That's like the thing. Whenever I'm not going to lie. There have been times where it's like I still listen to like some Marilyn Manson songs and all that stuff just because like I enjoy them and I do have like sort of like a nostalgic sort of connection with them. But I don't know. At the same time, I feel just like uncomfortable. It's like I can't say to anybody, it's like, oh, yeah, I like Marilyn Manson because then I feel like I have to defend myself. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just
I wouldn't even
you're,
go
in
that
an
far
that. You're in an awkward position. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do feel this is just me. The Five Finger Death Punch Marilyn Manson team up, definitely by design for trying to pair audiences like that together.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I haven't heard the song yet. I've said my piece on it. It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. Again, like Alex said, Nuclear Blast it's going to be different with a new label, especially Nuclear Blast. Like what Rowan was saying with separation of artists from the actual music, it's so much that's going on though, it's wild. So not
it's
much of a response.
Like a slippery slope, yeah. You know?
Not much of a response since we haven't heard the song yet, but we know it's out. We're just aware, just haven't gotten out to it yet. So yeah.
Also, by the way, someone in the chat is saying his best songs are covers. I will say this, not even like talking about like, you know, Sweet Dreams, but
yeah.
This was back in 2019 when he released this. This was a Johnny Cash song that he covered called God's Gonna Cut You Down. And I will say this, I actually prefer that cover more than the original Johnny Cash song.
Whoa.
It was, okay. I really enjoyed it when I listened to it. I don't know.
That's
I liked
intense.
His vocals on it
okay.
more.
That's intense. Okay.
Crucify me for it then. I don't care. I'll defend that.
There's worse takes to have to get banished for than that. So without even hearing it. So, you know, whatever. So that being said, thank you for your patience. We had well over 40 likes. It is time for lineup, rock or flop. It's on screen right now. What we have here, and I have some background music going. I have a random image generator of over 200 bands, many of the photos I've taken over the years. This is going to be ridiculous. We're going to try to book a 5-band festival, a one-day radio station festival, if you will, in your town, wherever it is, closest to you. Now, after we pick these 5 bands at random, we're going to make a poll in the chat, and you're all going to vote, would you go to this festival or not? That's the game. So, without even seeing it, I have to pull the random generator up. Da-da-da. Okay. And we landed on something before, so without further ado, the first band, I did not plan this. You're going to find it because without even clicking, without even switching anything up, because it was a band we talked about, and I can't believe it popped up like this. Where'd you go?
Oh.
No, it's not a bad thing.
Oh.
Butcher Babies.
Oh, God. No, see, you rigged that. Come on.
I did not, and you can tell from the random generator, too. Like, you're going to see how it works. There's no way I could have. So that's wild. But maybe I heard my thoughts. Maybe it's like Siri and like it just queued them up. But there's no way for that either because I don't have the, like the mic into that system. So Butcher Babies. And they're like, I'm going to read them out because it's like a few second delay for them to see the photos. But that way they know I'm not lying when I say them out loud. Second band.
I think we all know who's saying yes already.
Yes, fair enough. Second group. New Year's Day.
Yes.
I don't have a lot of experience with them. I can't say for certain yet.
Okay, fair enough. New Year's Day.
Tickets.
Yeah. This is they're very deep. They had to have toured together before, right?
I think they totally did.
Okay, I feel like they
at
definitely have.
Full.
So, okay. Number 3. Switchfoot. Boy, is this getting weird. See how random works?
Right.
So, we're going to hear Butcher Babies and New Year's Day, then Dare You to Move and Meant to Live crooning with the West Coast vibe. So 3 out of 5 picks so far. It's already getting more random. Number 4. Oh, Stained.
Oh.
So.
Actually, I will say, if they do their acoustic cover of Tool Sober, I won't be mad.
I don't know if that's enough time to go. So.
I'm just saying, if they play that, it will make things more bearable.
I already bought my tickets because of the two openers, so.
You know what? That's where you go get to talk to the bands and get your merch and get some food and
Yeah,
you know, go to the bathroom, just stand around. And finally, number 5, Incubus.
Yes, yes. I saw Incubus back in 2022. It was awesome. Yes.
Someone said,
oh my God.
You know what? I do think Incubus would be the headliner for that. Incubus and Switchfoot do kind of go well together, depending on the style. It's a weird combination. We have, let me get the poll for this too. Someone said, bring on stage. People are asking for what there are. There's over 200 bands in the file too, so there's so much. Now I'm going to make a poll. Alex and Rowan, Alex first, Rowan second. Make your pick, like, say if you would prefer to go or not. So do that while I'm making the poll if you can.
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay, so you would go.
Yeah. Butcher Babies, of course. Yeah, I think. Yeah. You know what? I love Incubus. I already seen them live, so I know they're going to put on a great show. And if you guys are vouching for Butcher Babies this much, I'll give them a chance. I'll go to the show.
I will say this. Alex is the Butcher Babies aficionado more than me, so I would defer my knowledge of that to her. So, Stain, Switchfoot, Butcher Babies.
And you know, Stained is not like the most, like, is not the greatest rock band, at least to, I can say, like, to the three of us and all stuff, but it's like, it's, there are worse bands or something like that. I can at least, like, get through Stained. It's not like a Clockwork Orange thing where it's like, you're gonna have to force me to listen to it, you know?
Fair enough. The poll is open in the chat. I'll give you 1 minute. Everyone please vote. This worked perfectly for the first edition of Festival Rock or Flop. This is exactly what I was looking for wildly different tones. And at least one headliner. I feel like for like a radio station festival, Incubus, perfect headliner for like a one-day radio station festival. So, we shall see. Some people are saying yes, some people are saying no. Someone said, bring on Scott Stapp. He's in there. Creed's in there. I know Creed is in the folder. Someone said, WTF. Someone said, I'll go get snacks and food during the Stain set. My lovely wife said hard pass on that show for me.
if we get Creed, we need like Slayer or Behemoth like right afterwards. I want to just like
all three bands are in the file, are in the folder.
That would just be like, at the very least, you could just say it would be awesome just to see how Creed fans react to Behemoth.
Oh yeah, not well. Then again, Behemoth's gone a little bit different from not super visual anti-Christian when they're live as much. If does that make sense?
Mm.
At least when they were on Not Fest Roadshow when I saw them last time, it wasn't as blasphemous. Let's say it that way. Someone said free tickets, maybe. Like if you got free tickets to the show, would you go? I mean, I that does make a good point, but so.
I mean, like I guess we're the organizers, so hey, we'll. Yeah. We'll cover you or whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's like, we can't give away free tickets to everyone, though. That's not fair. What about the people that did pay and wanted to go? So, we're running a business here, fellas. Ladies and gentlemen.
This show would be, like, in the middle of the week. So, if it's, like,
a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Or, like, a Wednesday night rock show or whatever. I'm totally going to the show because I get to see Butcher Babies and New Year's Day and then go home and go to bed.
That's true. It all depends on that
stuff. Go see Butcher Babies, go to work the next morning.
Exactly.
Also, someone said it's funny to see a Christian band with all those other bands. Switchfoot's pretty Christian. Also, I know Aaron Lewis has his beliefs, but I don't care for Aaron Lewis or his beliefs, no matter what they are. So he'd rather save a gun than a human. So that being said, poll's over. We have 53%. 52%, it was close, said no. Methinks the variety and randomness of it, Switchfoot and Stained, adding to that, was so opposite, it probably made people go,
People were on the fence or something like that. Like,
I get it.
Honestly, it looks like it's like 50-50. Half people wanted to see Incubus and Switchfoot, and then half of everyone else wanted to see Butcher Babies and New Year's Day.
There you go. See, and that's how it works. So, as a bonus, we'll do one more round. We'll do it very quick. We won't do it push, but we can do it fast, and then we'll have to say goodbye because we're all over an hour. Here we go. Rocked or Flop Festival lineup. Number 2. Get the image going. Da, 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 da. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. See, this is what we'll do after every stream, but we hit a like goal. Because you crushed the light goal, too. You guys did a really good job, and more people showed up. Thank you so much. Here we go. First band. New Year's Day again. That is random. Oh, wow. Yeah. And hit it.
I think the program's biased.
It's, I don't know how. It doesn't read the photo files and go, yes, that one. So number two, 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh, God.
This is already getting weird. By the way, updated news, 30 Seconds to Mars had to cancel some of their tour dates because of low ticket sales. That's actually true. That's not great. That is not great. Band number three.
Talking about problematic rock stars. Now we got Jared Leto in this. All right.
Yeah, I know. Young Guns. They were a big band of 2010s out of UK. They had a lot of fun songs. If you remember Young Guns, great. Number four, Pennywise. Wow, Pennywise, punk from California, and then 30 Seconds to Mars on the same show. Interesting. And number five, Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, hang on. I already know. Hang on. Yep.
Alex and Rowan, do you have any thoughts on this festival?
Yeah, I will pass on this one. I will pass on this one.
I don't have hair that day.
What do you mean you have hair day? We booked the festival. You have to be there. You have to help work it.
I gotta watch the dog.
Not even watch the dog. Just watch the dog. I'm just going to sit on the couch and watch him.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I got my grandmother's bar mitzvah or something. I don't know. I got something.
Oh boy, my lovely wife.
Grandma's bar mitzvah. What?
I'm trying to think of something to get out of this. I don't want to go.
My lovely wife just said, "I want my money back for the tickets I did not buy." Pennywise, Young Guns, and New Year's Day. But New Year's Day is going to be there. Don't you guys want to see that?
Just saw them.
I don't even know them that well.
Oh, that's a good, that's fair. You know what? They just were there. 30 seconds on this poll, guys. 30 seconds. That's it. Hurry it up. I have grass growing I need to watch. No poll needed. That lineup makes me feel like I need a shower. I feel bad for Young Guns. I'm just going to flat out say it. Young Guns deserve better. They got great stuff.
I know, but would you put up with, like, all the other bands just for Young Guns? A band you just, like, are like, oh, yeah, they're solid, you know?
Can I hang out back with Young Guns after and not see the rest of the bands? Maybe. So, yeah.
Pennywise is a clown, too. So it fits with, ICP.
That's a stretch, but it does work, so. Man,
I only know the Broham when it comes to Pennywise. I don't really know, much of their other stuff. Yeah.
Ending the poll. 95% said no.
That does not surprise me.
So now you get how the festival game works. You see? Every time we hit a like goal, we'll hit the festival game. We might do two at the end of every one, depending on how fast and slow it goes. But see what we've made? The chaos we've induced? Someone just said 30 Insane Clowns to Mars. Oh yeah, that's the collaboration we need. Woof.
That was
Jared Leto in his Joker makeup and then ICP on each side of him and they do a song together.
Oh god
It break the internet, literally actually shut down the internet. So I want to thank you all for hanging out. I want to also thank Heavies. If you've not checked out Heavies before, amazing headphones for heavy music. Check them out. You can save some money if you want to order two. Alex, do you have anything you would like to end with? Rowan, do you like to have anything to end with? Before we end with Alex's word of wisdom for the week. Alex, any final messages before we go?
Nope.
Gotcha. Rowan?
I think I'm good. That was just a really bad last lineup, in my opinion.
It was.
I'm still upset about it.
I know. But next week, hopefully, we'll get a like goal. And I've seen, and I think we've played with, we know it can work really well.
Yes.
So sometimes we'll be fine. So we'll finally start to fade out. Alex, do you have any words of wisdom, advice, or encouragement for this week for us to fade out with?
I do have a question.
Okay.
Why did that man fall in that well?
Why did that man fall in that well? I do not know.
Didn't see that well.
God damn it.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the podcast that rocks, where I will go hit my head on the side of a well and hopefully not fall down after that joke. Sweet mercy. We ended with ICP in 30 Seconds to Mars and then a dad joke.
I'm seeing toilets in a dream. Oh, my God.